Hi, everyone. This is the PowerPress Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Mackenzie Bennett. And on this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. My guest today is Dave Lee from the show Waves of Tech. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the invite.
I wanted to get you on here because I saw you at Podcast Movement and was just thinking about some of the stuff that we talked about there. So thought it would be a good time to get you on.
Yeah, I had a blast meeting up with you guys and the team over at Podcast Movement. You know, we had a couple drinks up in the bar. We saw each other in the hallways, had some good conversations. Always good to reconnect and talk about podcasting, talk about some tech. So, yeah, I really appreciate you inviting me on and letting us talk about some things podcast related and the waves of tech.
Yeah. So we have two news articles as usual, and then I'll do a very quick podcast chronicle, and then we'll talk about waves of tech, and then that's it.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So this first article is 7 steps to creating and sustaining a brand-centric podcast, and that seemed pretty good for me considering this podcast is called the PowerPress Podcast, and that's essentially part of the Blueberry brand. So that seemed pretty relevant. It's not that deep or long, but it brings up some pretty good points.
It does. It really does. When you're looking at trying to create and sustain your brand-centric podcast as you're doing with this podcast, but we also see if you just go into iTunes or search any podcast directory that you're seeing more and more companies like GE, Prudential, Netflix that have launched podcasts over the past year. You've even seen, the mega podcasting networks like Gimlet get into branded marketing podcasts as well. And that's part of their business inventory. And so I think it's a really good idea. As you said, it's a way to jump in. It's a way to create an image and sustain a brand with some information about either your products, your services, whatever it is. It's just another, in essence, like marketing branch of your company. You know, there's brochures and there's a website, there's blogging, there's videos, there's all these different things. And now we have the option of experimenting with podcast. And we do see a lot of large corporations getting into that.
There was a line in this article that said authenticity is truly the key and perhaps why a no rules environment serves the podcast medium well. And the authenticity is very helpful for brands, because brands are always trying to sell something. And a conversation that happens in a podcast is a lot more accepted than a sales pitch. It's a good way to get around that a little bit.
That's a good distinction you make up, because nobody wants to be sold to. Nobody wants to have to sit in front of a salesman, whether it's at the store, whether it's in your driveway, when you have to open your door, whatever it is. But if you can have that voice in your ears and you have somebody from the corporation that's perhaps talking about a product, a service that they can offer, you sort of have that, that more realistic, that more true, authentic voice that's going on. And I think we've all met people, not just in the podcast space, but also, in relationships in general, where somebody poses themselves as something else, and then you meet them and you realize they're nothing but different, And I think authenticity is really easy to see through. And I think, whether it's in conversation, whether it's in podcasting, whether it's in written form, authenticity is truly the key. It's super important. But I think when you're talking about the no rules environment, it really does serve the podcast medium well, and also serves these brands. It can really have a different different presentation, a different voice when it comes to, as I mentioned, their product, their service, whatever it may be.
I agree. One of these 7 steps says solidify your idea, and that when you're, solidifying your idea, you should do all these Google searches and find out if there's podcasts on your topic similar. And if there is, that don't get discouraged. Just put more time and thought into it and see if there's a different take or like a different tone that you could do on the same topic. And that is right there with how authentic it is and finding your own voice with it.
Yeah, I think solidifying your podcast idea, your theme and who you're going to target and what your message is really going to be, it's a good thing it's number one on this list. And I know a lot of times we did it when Steve, my brother, and I started the Waves of Tech podcast. It was like in 2007, you know? And so we didn't really know exactly what we were getting into at the time. And so we sort of had this rough idea, you know, there was a couple guys that worked in the IT field. I had not. And so how are we going to balance this in that? And we never really came with a solid idea. And it took us about 20 to 25 episodes to really find our voice, to find out truly who we were going to be as podcasters and as individuals on this show. And so I think solidifying your idea is a very crucial. Find your focal point, find your topic, and you know, don't be discouraged if somebody's out there talking about what you are already talking about. Your voice, your spin, your opinions are definitely going to be different from these other ones. So if not improving the space, you're also providing, you know, potential listeners with a new idea or new concepts around these things. Because, you know, I listen to 5 or 6 different tech podcasts, and, you know, there's 5 or 6 different opinions when they talk about AT&T and DirecTV Now and all these different items that are going on in tech news. But yeah, solidifying your idea and finding your target audience, honing your idea, I think is the most crucial part, because without that, you can't plan your content. You can't equip yourself properly. You don't do your focused research on what you want to talk about. You just sort of have this sporadic show with, you know, random topics here and there. And that doesn't serve yourself for preparing very well, but it also doesn't serve your audience very well, because you want to make sure you have that targeted demographic that you're working towards.
You're right. It's like you're setting the backbone for your show.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Your idea is your backbone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes right into the next step, which is plan your content, because if you're planning your content and you're planning, you know, each episode and who it's going to be with, or if it's just yourself or whatever it is, then that keeps you from creating content, the exact same content that someone has done before, because you are making a decision on what you're going to be doing and, you know, evaluating it against the competition that you have out there. And it's not even necessarily competition. It's just other content that you don't necessarily want to be the same.
Yeah, I always tell people when they either ask me, you know, how long you've been podcasting, how do you continue to podcast? You guys put out content week after week. And then even as we meet people at Podcast Movement or these different meetups, is, you know, what's the one thing I would share to people they ask me if I want to start a podcast? And, you know, obviously your idea is the first. And second one is I always tell them prepare, prepare, and prepare. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do your research, if you go into a podcast where you have to be knowledgeable. You have to do your research. You have to prepare. You have to have good notes. You have to have a good outline of what you want to talk about, because then you end up just rambling and sort of going off on tangents. So the more you prepare, that's going to help you, as you mentioned, plan your content. You're going to be able to be more creative with your content. You're able to plan out each episode, line out which guest you want to have. If you're doing a solo show, you want to have that outline, just like we did in the high school days. You know, it's like, you know, create an outline of what you read. There's no different when you prepare for anything different here in podcasting. So the more you prepare, I think the better quality of podcast at the end of the day is going to be released.
I very much agree. And the rest of these steps are pretty basic to, you know, keeping a schedule, setting the amount of time that your podcast will be, or how you want to set up your schedule, the right equipment that you want to use to keep it quality, same with the software, and then just marketing, just telling people over and over and over again about your podcast.
Yeah, marketing your podcast is such a... Sometimes it's taboo for a lot of people. I'm a good friend with a couple soccer/football podcasters, and they're trying to grow their shows and trying to reach new audience and everything. And it's very difficult to go out there and sort of, you know, promote yourself, mm-hmm. right? And promote your podcast. You know what you have is good, but it's so awkward. It does feel like, as we mentioned earlier, that sort of that sales pitch to our friends and our family and the other people that are out there. But don't think of it simply as marketing yourself. You're marketing your voice. You're marketing a brand. You're marketing your product as well. And so, you know, there are plenty of social media outlets. We know that there are message boards. There's Reddit. There's all these different Slack groups that you can join. There's so much different ways of marketing your podcast. And, you know, I've always told people, the more comfortable you get talking about your podcast to like strangers, That's one of the best ways to market, because you get comfortable in your own skin, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's an easy way to for you to bridge that sort of uncomfortable gap there and start engaging with listeners. That's when you start getting the feedback. And that's really when your voice becomes your brand. And I think that just paves the way for a lot of success. So marketing your podcast, I think a lot of people struggle with that, but it's obviously hugely important. But it's really just baby steps, right? About, you know, setting the tone, making sure your message is clear, making sure you're not really forcing your podcast down someone's throat or into somebody's ears. Each audience is going to consume and want that information in different ways. So yeah, marketing can be difficult, but it's obviously a crucial and important part for building that name and that brand.
One of the reasons why marketing your podcast is uncomfortable, especially with your friends and family, is because for most people, their podcast is their hobby. And, you know, when you talk to people about your hobby, you tell them, oh, I like soccer and I went to this game, or, oh, I like this band and I went to this concert the other day, or something like that. But this is you actually asking someone to take their time and to listen to what you have said. And I think it makes people a little uncomfortable.
It does. You bring up a good point. I'm a huge soccer fan. I travel to games. I watch games. I'll get up at 4:30 in the morning. I watch an unhealthy amount of soccer, right? And so it's one of those things where I will talk soccer day in and day out. I will listen to a bunch of soccer podcasts. I'll also go to work and people start talking to me about tech. And I start telling about my opinions about, you know, what's in the news or what's happening with the president-elect, with all these, you know, tech leaders meeting and all these things. I have my opinions. But it's not too often where I say, hey, we actually talked about that on one of our podcast episodes. Why don't you have a listen?
Exactly.
That, you know, it's exactly what you're talking about. And I've been podcasting, for close to 10 years. And it's not that I'm uncomfortable. It's just not something I usually just reach, you know, into my bag and say, oh, you know, you should check this out right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to somebody at the gym the other night and he goes, I was like, yeah, I've been training for like a half marathon, got bored, you know, I didn't want to listen to music and all this other stuff. So he goes, oh, have you ever heard a podcast? I'm like, yeah, you know, it's awkward. You don't want to say, well, I'm a podcaster, you know, and this and that. You know, it's like, yeah, I listen to a bunch of podcasts and that's a good idea and this and that. So even it catches you sort of, you know, by surprise sometimes. And I think, as you mentioned, it's different when you say, hey, let's talk about this band. Let's talk about this road trip. Let's talk about our travel plans. But then when you say, I'll take the time to download, listen to 30 minutes every other week, or, you know, an hour a week, whatever it is, that does still ring uncomfortable tones for a lot of people.
I think it does. But it's like you said earlier, and it said in this article, you go to where your brand's niche is, and that is how you will find your audience, because they're not going to be the ones that will squirm away from that conversation that you're having. They are the ones that are so interested in whatever the content is of your podcast that they will listen to it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because when I found some of my favorite, you know, sports-based, soccer-focused podcasts is because I'm searching hashtags or I'm searching for other people that are doing podcasts in that genre and with that direct message. And so your audience is sometimes going to find it, you know, without even much help from yourself, you know. So I think there's a rabid audience out there, whether it's comedy, whether it's religious podcasts, whether it's, you know, home improvements, you know, car enthusiasts, whatever it is. If there's a hobby, as you mentioned, behind what they do after their usual 8-to-5 jobs, they're going to find a way to get that content. They're going to find a way to interact with you.
Mm-hmm. They will. So those are the 7 steps, and you can actually read each one of them from the link in the show notes for this, but it's the 7 steps to creating and sustaining a brand-centric podcast. But next, I just want to do a real quick podcast chronicle. And I actually didn't have one until I like came into the studio to sit down and get ready to talk to you, Dave. We, you know, set this up for 8:15. I walked in here at like 7:40, turn on the computer or wake it up or whatever. And I had no internet. I had no internet.
Convenient, right?
Yeah, yeah, I had no internet for about 35 minutes.
Classic podcasting, right?
It was. So I'm like, okay, well, this is like an Ethernet. So this literally, like, there is no reason why this should not be working. I figured out that I think it had to do with Windows didn't update in the past week. And I just needed to restart the computer and restart the router and, you know, kind of get them synced up again. But
synced up, yep.
That just kind of reminded me, like, yes, I have this new setup on the desktop and everything should be working fine when I turn it back on and all that. But computers do things that you don't really notice or remember, and you kind of have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some, like when I updated to Windows 10, and you know, I realized that there's some of my settings were different. I had to, you know, do some of my antivirus protocols, you know, my security settings, all those things that I just had so lined out and honed in on my previous setup. And like you said, you don't always think, because when we turn it on, computers typically work 99% of the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so when there's updates, you know, you forget to restart, or you're like, oh, I hadn't ran Skype in like 2 weeks or something like that. So I was praying there wasn't like a massive update that was going to mess something up, you know, through our settings and stuff. But yeah, it's a good point to, you know, anytime there's some sort of, you know, update or release or anything like that, to even just some of the basic programs that you may have on your computer, to double check those settings, get things lined up, because like you said, sometimes it comes at you and you're like, oh shoot, I got to get behind the mic in 5-10 minutes and I'm stressing, and that's unneeded stress on our part, right?
But yes,
that's what computers do. They stress us the heck out.
They do. They make our lives all that much easier, but they also really stress you out.
So much easier, but so complicated at the same time, right?
Yeah, it really is. So for everyone else out there that unexpectedly didn't know their computer had a Windows update, I feel your pain.
It happens to a lot of us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all I really had to say for my chronicle for this week.
It's a good lesson learned.
yeah.
It's a good message to spread. That's what I have to say.
It just makes me happy that I did walk in here like a half hour early.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you'd be emailing me, Dave. We gotta wait. We gotta postpone.
It really, like, I was just like dreading that email. I was like, I don't want to call Dave or email Dave and be like, P.S. I'm really sorry, but can't do it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we'll just do it next week. We've all been there, right?
Yeah. But we're all good. Okay, well, now that I've talked about me, let's talk about you and your show. So give me the scoop on Waves of Tech.
All right, well, the Waves of Tech is part of the Modern Life Podcast Network. We're over at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. And over there at Modern Life Network, we have modern issues and we have modern discussions. And we have podcasts focused in technology like the Waves of Tech. We have lifestyle shows. We have things in cultural, in current events. We have a couple shows related to business and some sports. And so our whole theme over there and all the content that we have, it just relates to your modern life. And so, as I said, when we have modern topics, we have those modern discussions. And for our show, The Waves of Tech, I co-host with my dad, Steve, and we've been doing it for, as I mentioned, yeah, I think 2007 was when we actually got behind the mic originally. And really what we do is we just talk about technology and how that influences your daily life. We don't get into the super complicated, drawn-out explanations of, you know, when it comes to technology. It's just about, it's the day in, day out, kind of the tech grab bag news stories, and we just relate to it, you know. So we talk about tech advancements in healthcare, education, aeronautics, we talked about presidential elections recently, we've talked about wearables, and so we just sort of take the topics that are out there right now and we just dissect them and say, okay, what does the acquisition of DirecTV Now by AT&T mean to you as a consumer, right? What does the growth of e-commerce mean for a lot of the brick and mortar stores? Vice versa, what is, you know, the holiday sales of brick and mortar, like Black Friday, what does that do to e-commerce? So we sort of have this back and forth about how technology influences your day. And so sometimes we'll be talking about the tech giants like Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft. Then next time we'll be talking about some Kickstarter campaigns in some startups in San Francisco, Atlanta, New York, or Boston, wherever it may be. So we just really take the entire spectrum of the tech industry. And we discuss it, we cover it, we analyze it. And as I mentioned, we're not going to get into the nitty gritty, you know, of like security protocols and backup systems and IT in general. It's just what technology's out there, what things are changing, what do you need to be aware of, and how does that impact and change your day to day life?
I've listened to a couple episodes from a variety of the shows that you just mentioned on the network, and have been able to relate to all of them, regardless of the topic, because you are talking about how these things affect our modern lives. And, you know, just because Like, I don't really care about, you know, some of the stuff that's going on, but I am able to appreciate the conversation about it. You guys have a great network of shows and diversity that way.
Yeah, I think we have put together a good diverse selection of shows and with some good guests and some great hosts as well. And like you're saying, it's, you know, like one of our more recent episodes and one of the most popular ones was President-elect Donald Trump in the technology industry. Mm-hmm. And we just dissected everything from telecommunication network infrastructure and international cybersecurity and domestic product manufacturing, net neutrality, science, technology, engineering and math funding. You know, those are the things that people in the tech industry are really concerned about. But then we turn the page a little bit and say, okay, what does this mean for you? And how is this broadband connectivity going to help rural communities? What is the future of international students, you know, based on some policy decisions that's going to affect, you know, the educational system, future job markets, sort of those different things. And so we do take a different angle. I always tell people, you know, it's we do talk about a lot of the headlines because a lot of people do want to hear about that. But we get into some of the different topics and we try and present it in a different way that's relatable, as you commented on. And so it's a fun podcast. I think we're, episode 334 or something we just recorded last Monday. So we've been doing it a while. And I always like that every week it's a fun podcast to record because we're doing something new every week. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the wearables market. We also talked about some drone news. And then we talked about Amazon Go. The week before that, we talked about Cyber Monday issues and DirecTV Now. And, you know, we just, every week is such a turnover. It's not the same thing week after week. And that helps Steve and I because it's such a variety of information. We literally want to talk about everything in the technology field. And so, as you said, when we're trying to hone our idea, that's really what it is. It's not very niche. It's not very specific. But it's going to provide our audience and ourselves a lot of different information from a lot of different industries because technology just isn't the desktop. It's just not healthcare. It's just not education. It's all of those things in one giant circle. It's just not e-commerce. It's so much more than just that. So when we approach it that way, we do provide a large, basically laundry list and a wide variety of tech topics to think about. And I think that's one of the best things when we get feedback. We do get a lot of, man, I never thought about it that way. You know, Steve, you had a good point there. Dave, you had a good point. But we also get that, I think you guys forgot a main point here, you know, and they direct us in the right direction. We sort of sit back. We're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm glad our listeners and our friends out there are correcting us because we did miss something very glaring. And I think that's some of the beauty of it is that you have an opinion of what Apple's doing. I have an opinion of what Apple's doing, and it's going to be different. And it's good when Steve and I disagree because it makes for a fun podcast.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's got that blind spot and is able to see a different viewpoint about it than what you and Steve are going to have. And that's got to be a little fun.
It is fun because Steve has worked in the IT field. He owns his own IT company. He's been in there, I think, since like the early 90s, like 92, 93. And I don't work in the IT field. I'm just an enthusiast when it comes to technology. So right there, we have two very different contrasts. When we talk about updates to systems. Like, I'm all for, you know, the recent Windows 10. I love it, this and that. He comes with a different angle of sometimes Microsoft pushes updates to all of his consumers or his customers that he has for his IT business, and it just wreaks havoc on security protocols. And so he's pulling tickets. He's doing, you know, the tech support. He's doing all those things. So I'm like, I'm sitting over here pretty with my Windows 10 machine, and he's up, you know, working 12-hour days trying to fix issues. And so I think that's a cool little duality with the podcast that makes it a little bit fun because he's going to have a very different opinion on security and policies and different things versus me. I'm more the consumer. Let's think about things in a little different light. So we each got our own little flavor when it comes to technology.
So how do you guys decide on which topics to focus on in each episode?
Well, each episode is very different. We, usually it's agreed upon that each of us come with a couple different topics, right? I'm going to find a couple. Maybe it's something that's making headlines that we've seen a lot of people online are talking about. We even take, obviously, suggestions from our listeners and from our friends, or But really, really it's a grab bag, you know, it's what's sort of hot at the time. You know, what needs to be talked about. Sometimes that's obviously the big thing. So there's no particular rhyme or reason as to why we choose what we do. A lot of it is, you know, like we talked about Veterans Day when it was around, you know, like some, what are the tech corporations doing to help veterans and finding jobs and those things. So some of it's topical and current. But it's really, there's no real rhyme or reason as to exactly why we choose one thing. It could be, all right, it's something I'm interested in. I want to bounce the idea off Steve and see where he stands on it, you know? So maybe not the best answer, you know, but it's one of those where, you know, tech is so fluid. And I think that's the beauty of having a podcast like The Waves of Tech, is that our content has to be fluid to keep up with it, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not going to be talking about something that happened 3 months ago, because that doesn't make any sense. So just as the industry is fluid, we have to be fluid as podcasters and bring that content that's current, but also just a little bit, you know, on the opposite side, because, you know, we love to talk about like space exploration, aeronautics, you know, government funding and spending in the space industry. And so we throw that in every once in a while. And then, you know, if I hear a great story from one of my friends, you know, who works maybe in the educational field or in marketing design or user experience, whatever it may be, you know, I can get them on the show pretty quickly and we can talk about that stuff. So pretty fluid when it comes to the type of topics we discuss week in and week out.
Is this the only show that you're on for the Modern Life Network?
This is the only show I'm currently on. In the past, I used to do a sports show with my buddy Ryan. That's been retired. I used to do a show called Flash Past, which was more of a cultural, historical, you know, where we talk about modern music and current music, and we talk about, you know, classics versus modern music. But we sort of had that dichotomy of past and present. We looked at the past, look at where we are in the current, where we're going in the future. And I've co-hosted a few other things here and there, but right now this is the only podcast that I'm a full-time co-host on.
And there's how many shows total? Because there seems to be at least like what, 10?
There are, I believe it's 10, maybe 11. I know Steve was, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11's on there. So, yeah, we have Waves of Tech. We have this good one called Beer and Brothers, which is brothers-in-law drinking beer and discussing the news, which is always entertaining. Yeah, we have Geek in the North with Mike Dell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we got a couple business shows called The LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus and a really good social media trending tools and techniques show called Social Solutions. So there's two experts, Ken Heron and Carol McManus, that they have so much expertise and wisdom when it comes to using the right platforms, channels, apps, and how to make you money and make your time count. Really good show, and that's one of the more popular ones on our network. So, yeah, we got a wide variety, everything from sports, as I mentioned, to tech, to current events, to women's issues. We have a show called Busy Ladies, which is a great female-focused podcast. So it's a good little roundup that we have.
You guys are using PowerPress, and I believe are hosting, because I remember talking with Mike earlier this year when you guys were getting everything transferred over. I don't know if mm-hmm. it was you or Steve that was working with Mike to get the whole setup done, but how do you manage all of these on one website?
Yeah, that is all Steve right there. Mm-hmm. Steve, as I mentioned, is the IT guy behind the brains. He's the brains in the operation behind Modern Life Network. Where I fall into the mix is, you know, I prepare the shows, the show notes. I reach out to our co-host if they need assistance or backup or anything like that. But Steve is the one who, you know, did with the migration with Mike. He's the one that updates the website. I do a lot of the editorial behind mm-hmm. it, you know, like everything on the website. You know, I'm a writer by trait. I got my degree in public administration. So that's pretty much what I do all day at work, is just write and analyze and, you know, and repurpose a lot of different things. So mm-hmm. that's my role with the network, is if I see something wrong on the site, I'm the guy that calls Steve and says, hey, you know, this isn't spelled right, or this doesn't make sense,
yep.
or let's reorder this. So it's an interesting mix between what Steve and I do, because as I mentioned, he's the brains behind it. He's making sure all the shows are being edited, you know, filed properly, mm-hmm. All those different things, where I'm more social media, promotes, markets, edits, provide that sort of content with it. So yeah, Steve does an excellent job with it. I couldn't tell you a quarter or even a percent of what he does behind there, because I'm like, man, yeah, he, you know, when he starts revamping sites, he goes, here's the idea. Tell me what you think. And sometimes it's scrap it, start over. Sometimes it's like, I know where we're going. And sometimes it's, that's perfect. Let's not change anything. So, but manage it's difficult because, I mean, you have 11 podcasts and most of them are co-hosted shows. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about 22 people you have to manage with time and schedules. And he's put in a lot of great tools and applications behind the scenes to allow people to record, obviously, on their own side. And, you know, just making sure everything's fluid and smooth. And it's difficult. I mean, producing and releasing 11 shows on average a week. That's a big time commitment, a lot of, you know, time management at the same time.
Something that might make it easier, and I don't know if this will get you into the website more or if Steve will handle it, but earlier this week, we released something called Post to Social, where you're able to post your new episode or even your old ones to YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And it's only available in the Blueberry dashboard right now. But come the new year, come 2017, we're going to put it into PowerPress as well.
So oh, beautiful.
That I don't know if that's going to be you or Steve.
That'll probably be, I don't know. We'll have to have that conversation, right? Post to social for Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. It's going to make it super easy, as you mentioned, to publish all podcast episodes and even your episode teasers, which is something new that we've been seeing a lot lately. Post all your social media accounts. You guys make things easy. Let me tell you that. You know, with all the automatic publishing, so much that Blueberry has to offer. It's such a great service for a lot of podcasters. And yeah, as you mentioned, we're happy to be on that side of the table when it comes to PowerPress and everything. You guys have been great.
Thank you. We're very happy to help out. We're always trying to evolve all of what we have to stay current with the needs of podcasters. And to make it as easy as possible. So,
yeah, I think that's a good, you know, mantra to have. It's a good mission to have too, because I think by nature the podcasting space evolves constantly, mm-hmm. right? And you know, like as I mentioned, Steve and I, we have to adapt week after week to what sort of content is out there in the tech side. But we also have to do that as a network. We have to do that as podcasters and figure out what's going on, what tools, what resources are out there. And so, being on that leading edge and being the experts, it makes sense to, you know, see what podcasters need and what sort of the resources are out there that are lacking that need to be improved. And yeah, it's just sort of the state of podcasting at the moment.
That is a great way to say that. I never really thought about it that way. You're right. Thanks so much for sharing about the Waves of Tech show. Is there anything else you wanted to get out there about the network or the show?
No, I think that covers it. They're all family safe podcasts. So, you know, there's no foul language. Nothing's explicit. So you can listen to it while you're riding with your kids or, you know, whatever. It's a great network. I really believe in the lineup that we have. It's a lot of good content, a lot of good information out there. So if anybody's interested in finding the Waves of Tech and the other shows on the network, modernlifepodcastnetwork.com.
Okay. Awesome. So the last article that I wanted to talk about for this episode is about diversity. And the title of the article is How Can We Solve Podcasting's Diversity Problem? This article is kind of stemming from one from August of 2015 that was written in Wired. There's a lot to say in this article, and it's definitely worth a read. In general, I think they make some very good points, one of which is arguing that cross-promoting your podcast does not lead to promoting unheard voices, specifically podcasts that are coming from people of color.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic that's going on with cross-promoting. Obviously, you know, networks and podcast corporations, what they want to do is make sure that you live just like Apple and Amazon and Google want to do, is make sure you live within their own ecosphere, right? Mm-hmm. You listen to that show, which means if that host you really enjoy and respect their opinions, you're going to check out this next show. And when you have a podcast network or a corporation that isn't by default diverse, i.e. too many white guys podcasting, mm-hmm. you know, it makes for a very difficult problem, as you said, of introducing a good diverse selection of podcasters and in reaching a new podcast diverse listening base. You know, it's one of those things. And as you mentioned, this is a great read. There's a lot of hard-hitting statements. There's a lot of truth behind it. It's something that even personally, as co-founder of International Podcast Day, where I made it a mission this last year to make sure our event was more diverse. It represented more nationalities. It represented more women. It represented more minorities. That was something that I think if you run a conference or a network or, you know, an event, that's something you really have to take a look at. One of the best sessions I went to at Podcast Movement was diversity in podcasting. And up on stage, they had four African-American podcasters with huge audiences in great interaction with a lot of them. But that is still a very small portion of the podcasters that are out there. And I think that's one way in which, you know, events creators and event planners and conference goers can really do is to dive into that diversity issue and really bring it to a forefront. I know this article mentions a gentleman by the name of Sean. He's actually down here where I'm at in the California area, and he hosts a US-based film and social issues podcast called No Totally. And I had the privilege of meeting him at Podcast San Diego. I think that was March of 2015. 2014, I can't remember. He's an Asian American podcaster, and he has some great lines within this entire link that will be in the show notes, obviously. But he does bring up some points how, you know, traditional media does drive a certain level of non-diverse individuals and listening base into the podcasting space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something he brings up that's a very unique perspective. I just know, being on Twitter, I see a lot. I've even branched out myself and started listening to a variety of diverse podcasts. You can use the hashtag support POC pods. I've also seen hashtag pods in color out there as well, which just being on that, you really see that the growth of diverse podcasters and listeners is out there. But obviously, there's still a lot of momentum and growth to be had.
It was bringing up a point that saying the amount of people of color that are involved in podcasting is basically on par with the other types of media, whether it's film or music or TV shows, is that the people that are popular and the people that are getting screen time and, you know, notoriety are not people of color. So that this is, you know, not a surprise. It's just that we are trying to figure out how to change it, I guess. And they said one of the reasons why this is possibly happening is because some of the early adopters for podcasting were coming from genres, and the example that they used was comedy, is that genre of comedy that, you know, picked up podcasting very quickly is not very diverse either. So the people that flocked to podcasting, they're saying, might not have been a very diverse group in the first place.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. I think Sean's quote was, comedy is a very white person thing, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly the quote, but it's something around there where it's primarily a white thing. In the podcasts that are popular, you can go right to iTunes and you can look and you can see, yeah, the top 10 are traditionally of the same background. And he says comedy is very much a white person activity. That's the exact quote there. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do appreciate there's, as this article points out, there's, you know, the distributors of podcasts like Google Play and iTunes and Stitcher, and they definitely have a role in which they could promote a variety of podcasts and bring that diverse nature to the thing. I mean, you can go to iTunes right now, and they have a section that's called Black Voices in Business, mm-hmm. and I've seen that change here and there. It's been Black Voices in Podcasting, and, you know, Black Voices in Sports, and, you know, I think, you know, kudos to Apple and iTunes and what they're doing is as far as giving them some recognition, you know, and it's obviously a difficult topic to talk about in general, mm-hmm. Because I think it is a very relevant and it's a very critical thing that we need to talk about. But, you know, I think we are making good strides. I think it's impressive when you go to a conference or go to an event online and it is a topic of choice. And when you go there, it's a packed house and they want to hear about the issues that's, you know, that could be that can be worked out. So it's a good debate to have, and I think it's worthy, because as you mentioned, I think it's only like 18% of the podcasting space is like non-white. You know, it's still very white dominated, you know, on the top of iTunes. And so I think there's a lot of growth, obviously, in the UK. We're seeing a lot of growth there. I think it's the Shout Out Network that's over there, and they're a great group of diverse individuals out there that are really comprising their podcast with people of color. And I think that's just going to spread the message. One of my favorite podcasts I've listened to lately is What's Ray Saying with Ray Christian. And he's an African-American podcaster, and he's been on the Moth stage, and he's done a lot of things. And the stories he tells has really brought in my horizons and gave me a very different outlook on a lot of different things. And so I think when I start listening to that, I want to share that message with other people. And I think that's one way we can also promote diversity in podcasting, by doing it ourselves.
The tone of the article was saying that this is a complicated situation, and that, you know, there's not one main reason of why this is happening, that there are multiple things, but ultimately we all need to do better. Us as podcasters, us in the industry, and, you know, the big players like iTunes and Google Play and everything like that, is that we all need to put a little more effort into, I guess, crossing this divide a little bit and broadening it. And that also kind of goes into realizing that a lot of these top 10 in iTunes is typically, you know, organizations. Like NPR will have multiple shows in the top 10, or Gimlet or something like that. And that we need to diversify those. And then once that happens, then all those voices get out there.
Yeah, I think the finishing line on this article, which is really good, it's time for us all to do better. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just something that we can talk about podcast related. We can also talk about that just culturally with what's going on currently. You know, and it's time for us all to do better. We can broaden our horizons and listen to a diverse selection of podcasts and hear the different voices from podcasters. That's going to strengthen our individual opinions. It's going to potentially change us. But as you said, when these big media organizations and companies, when they compile the list, it's perpetuating sort of the same issues, right? And so when you have that issue that sort of just is regurgitated time and time again, it's difficult to have a presence and have that diversity problem, you know, critically looked at. And so it's as you mentioned, it's kind of like a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, distributors continue to put out the same content. It's difficult because it is very popular and it's very good content. But it's at what point is there better focus and better recognition for those of a diverse background?
Right. And it's not that the shows that, you know, people aren't necessarily finding or discovering don't have that good content. It's just once you do find that good content, it's you want to make sure that everyone else knows about it too.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time I listen to, well, most of the time when I listen to a podcast, I'm usually tweeting out about like, hey, I'm checking out this podcast, you know, and when I find a really good one, one that's really stand out to me, I'm giving it a little extra love online. And I think that's part of, you know, there's always this thought that, you know, podcasting is super, super intimate. Well, it is to an extent, but also we should all be inclined to share great stories, great storytelling, great topics of interest. And that shouldn't just be, you know, subdued to just your white podcasters that you listen to. You know, highlighting the diverse podcast and stories and podcasters that are out there is definitely going to help raise the level of diversity within the entire industry.
I think you're right. This article was on newstatesman.com, and it'll obviously be in the show notes, but I think I'm going to put the a link to the article from last year that kind of inspired this one as well, so you can get the full gamut of where this is coming from. And then I spent some time looking on Twitter at the hashtags, whatever, what is it? It's
support POC pods.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah. I was like, I know there is POC in there somewhere. So I was looking at that one and at Sean's Twitter and at someone else's Twitter. I can't remember who it was, but she was mentioned in this article. And, you know, now something that I'm probably going to try to keep up with a little bit, like stay more aware, because I do care about it. And it's just, you know, once you find those things, then you get more involved in the conversation.
Yeah. When I came back from Podcast Movement after just being in that one hour session there, my podcast playlist changed drastically. You know, I was exposed to so much more different opinions and thoughts and subjects And it's honestly changed the way I listen to podcasts day in and day out. You know, I have such a wide variety and diverse selection now, and that was just sitting through one session, you know? And so as you dive further into it, you can sort of, help out, you know, and sort of advance the different podcasters, that are out there that just aren't the traditional, you know, 80% white male that's sitting behind the mic.
Mm-hmm. When I was at Podcast Movement, I didn't see very many of the sessions, but one that I did like actually run into was for the host Hebben and Tracy for Another Round. And I was specifically interested in that one just because it's two women hosting a podcast. And mm-hmm. of course, I'm going to
that one out.
Yeah, of course, that's the one I'm going to go to. You know, a big portion of what they talked about, or that I at least remember, was them saying, there are people of color hosting podcasts out there. Like, you literally just are not, like, you're not finding them, partially because you don't want to find them.
Yeah.
Like, you're in your own little bubble and you don't know about these things. And I was like, they are completely right. And, you know, it's not like they don't exist. And it's not like you can't get these people of color on your podcast or anything like that. It's just you get stuck in that bubble of yours and you don't break out.
Yeah, just like they were saying, how media organizations, you know, perpetuate the same shows and the same topics and the same issues. We sort of do that ourselves, right? So mm-hmm. not all the blame can be laid to these corporations that are the top 10 in iTunes. It's about you and I branching out and searching for that new content, you know, and searching the hashtags and, you know, sort of stopping that cycle and just sharing that message, you know, about, you know, a great story. Because I don't care what you look like on stage, what your background is. If you're a good storyteller, you're a good storyteller, right? And people are drawn to good content and good stories and things like that. So yeah, I think it's a very current topic to talk about. And I think we can all do our part to sort of break that cycle and move forward with creating a more diverse podcasting space.
Right. It's find the quality content that you think you are getting something out of that makes you want to listen to the next episode and keeps you coming back. Diversify it a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
I think that's all I have for that one. That's a little heavy to end on, but I think it's a really good article.
And it is. I think you're right. Heavy is the perfect word because that's some of those. I was talking to two of the women that run Range Podcasts. And if you haven't listened to that, they're Amy and Julie out of Reno, Nevada, and they do a show called Range. I met them at Podcast Movement, and when I talked to them, they're like, we're talking about the issues that people need to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things. It's difficult to talk about, but once it's out in the open, keep that conversation going, right? And it has to be out front. You have to talk about it to eventually advance both in the podcasting space and culturally. So I thought that was a really interesting point that they brought up, is they want to talk about those hard-hitting issues because it's going to force people to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Come on, we're podcasters. Or you're a podcast listener. Like, that's all you want to, that's all you do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we just talk. We can't stop talking. That's what we do.
Exactly. So, you'd think we'd be a little better about that.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think that'd be a topic we'd want to talk about a little bit more. Again, but you said it's a little culturally sensitive. It's mm-hmm. sensitive within the space. And, you know, it's sometimes a lot of people feel like, well, I do good content and you're attacking me for it. No, it's not about that. It's just mixing up your playlist, finding some new original content that celebrates a little bit more of the diversity that's out there.
Exactly. I'm just going to let people read this on their own. And I would love to hear anything that you have to say after you've read this article. So please reach out, whether it is on a comment on the show or, you know, email me or whatever it is. Would love to hear your thoughts on this as well. Thanks for discussing with me, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for the invite to the podcast. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll get to have you on sometime again next year.
You know, and I'm around, you know, so that's what podcasts are. We can make time for anything, right?
Yes.
You know, it's like, I got to go to the store. No, I can't. I don't have time to go shopping and get lunch for the week. I got to get behind the mic and podcast. So there's always time to do that.
That doesn't even stop people. People get in the car and they will podcast on their drive. They will podcast while they're in the grocery store.
That is true. Yeah. That's, I don't know. Yeah. We, there's no sense putting limits on what we can do and where we can do it.
No, there's no limits really. As long as you have that recorder somehow. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This has been episode 34 of the PowerPress Podcast, and you can find information for Dave Lee and the show Waves of Tech and the articles that we discussed on PowerPressPodcast.com. And thanks for listening, guys.